I'll call the House Committee on Healthcare to order and open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 1577 and invite Senator Konopka to join us. Are you on your own or do you have a wingman with you?
We have others, and we thought maybe there might be some other ones
as well.
Thanks. I'm happy to.
Well, let's start with you, and then I'll open up the other public hearing as well in case somebody else shows up.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. I did open it.
You opened a public hearing.
Go ahead. I forgot how I voted on the bill earlier today, so anything's possible.
Well, if you vote twice, you get quicker to victory. Thank you, Chair Greenlick, members of the committee. I'm Senator Tim Canope from District 27, which includes Redmond, Tumalo, Bend, and Sun River. Before you today, bringing you Senate Bill 1577A engrossed. And there are two parts to that bill. And I'm joined by my colleague, the good Senator from Gresham. And there's two parts, essentially, to this bill. One is what we call a silver alert. And essentially, what it does is attempt to have a written plan in place to recover seniors and people with dementia who wander. And we know that this is going to become a more significant problem. And we want to recover these vulnerable seniors as quickly, as efficiently, and as cost-effectively as we can and get them back to their loved ones, because there are tens of thousands of people with Alzheimer's dementia disease right now, and 6 out of 10 of them will wander at some point during their disease. So you're talking about a lot of this going on. The second part of this bill is essentially some Medicaid fraud prevention piece. And it passed the Senate 30-0 last session. And essentially what it tries to do is ask the health authority to go out and do an RFQ and find out if they can save money by moving from a pay-and-chase model that we currently have on Medicaid fraud to more of a predictive model. So in other words, before the checks go out the door, we attempt to vet them for fraud versus the checks go out the door, we find out there's fraud, and then we go chase it down and try to get the money back. And Medicare has moved more in this direction over the last couple years, and we're hoping that Oregon can move in that direction as well, because we think ultimately there's money to be saved there. And I think if we can save money in health care right now, number one, it'd be great. And number two, it would make sure that that money gets to the people that really are in need versus people who are basically trying to make a buck off the system illegally. And so those are the two basic elements of the bill. And with that, I'd be happy to turn it over to my colleague here.
And Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee for allowing me to be here. I'm Senator Lori Moniz Anderson, and I represent Gresham, Trout, Delwood, Village, Fairview, and parts of East Portland. I am actually here to testify in support of two bills, but we'll start with Senate Bill 1577A.
If you hold on a moment, I'll open up a public hearing as well on House Bill. Senate Bill 1548.
Senate Bill 1577A, that's been called the Silver Alert Bill. I'm a strong proponent. I won't explain anything more than my good senator here from Central Oregon said, because he described it very well. But I do want to cite a situation with my father. He died in 2008, and he had a tendency, he loved to walk. He would walk every day with my mom, and they would walk down to Heidi's, it's a restaurant, and every day. Well, it's hard to break habits, and one day he wandered out of Courtyard Fountains and fell and hurt himself pretty bad in the Kmart parking lot, cut himself up very badly, and was lying there. He had Parkinson's. He could not get up. Thank goodness someone found him that knew him, took him to a local church, and they found someone who knew me and my phone number and called me. But if it hadn't been for that scenario, they would have then called the police. And the police really do need to have policies in place on how they would handle this problem. So that's really all I want to say about Senate Bill 1577. Of course, I very much support the Medicaid fraud piece of that bill also. And then I would like to state that I'm very much in favor of Senate Bill 1548, which is really a physician assistance bill, and Elizabeth Remley will be here to talk to you about that. I am in favor of the amendments that they will propose, which is to remove a couple of sections, and of course, I had them. I think it's chapters 743 and 743A, and also I'm in favor of the amendment for verification of the TTY that they may be proposing. Now, maybe they've changed their mind, but I just want you to say because
we're supporting either of those.
Either of those two amendments. And with that, I thank you very much. And
could either of you just briefly talk about how that fraud prevention thing would work, or just a little more for the committee?
Yes.
I'm sure we'll hear some more testimony.
Yes, Chair Greenlick, I am not an expert, but here's essentially what the bill asks. In identifying kind of the predictive analytics, it says using fraud investigative services that combine retrospective claims analysis and prospective waste, fraud, and abuse detection techniques. These services shall include analysis of historical claims data, medical records, suspect provider database, and high-risk identification lists, as well as direct patient and provider interviews. And so
I assume those are protocols that are already available.
They are. I think essentially what we're trying to do is have our Medicaid fraud detection efforts keep up with the technology that exists today and use that to our advantage to essentially catch people who are committing fraud.
Are there questions of these two folks on either bill?
Representative Conyer.
Yes, sir. Representative Conyer.
Well, I do have a question, but first I...
Is this your senator?
He is.
You need to behave then.
Well, I'm not going to say whether he had my vote or not. I will say it sounds like the Medicaid fraud element of this bill does not involve a huge new IT project. Can you clarify that?
Chair Greenlick.
$5 million or more.
Chair Greenlick, Representative Cogger, that is correct. Actually, there is no money involved whatsoever. The recovery has to, essentially the recovery of the fraud has to pay for the program itself. So there are no funds used by the state whatsoever, and essentially they'll likely hire a provider to do this for them, and so that provider obviously will be responsible for their own technology.
Mr. Chair, that was really the only question that I had, but I would like to thank both of the sponsors for being here and for bringing this combined bill. I think it's a great bill and appreciate it.
Well, thank you both very much for bringing
thank
this.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, sir. Representative
thank
Harker.
You, Mr. Chair. With regard to the same, thank you both for being here, but with regard to the same issue, the IT questions here, this has the health authority seeking information about this and making some decisions. This health authority is part of the state government. It is not a public corporation. It is, therefore, under the jurisdiction of the state chief information officer, unless I'm mistaken. So I would strongly hope that the chief information officer would be consulted on this and weigh in before it gets very far down the pike.
Mr. Chair, Representative Harker, when this piece of the bill was up in the Health Committee last session, we had the Oregon Health Authority say that this was a part of their plan, or I don't want to put words in their mouth, mm-hmm. but we had consulted and they did actually testify. They're neutral, of course, but
okay.
This...
Good, yeah. Thank you.
Chair Greenlick, Representative Harker, we're happy to make sure that is known, and if you feel like an amendment is needed to do that, certainly open to making sure that that happens. So you let us know what you think is the most prudent path.
Okay, very good. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Thank you
both very much. Let's move on with the public hearing on the one we had ordered for us. 1548, please, and would you call the first panel?
Sure. Real quickly. 1548 amends certain statutes that reference physician to include references to physician assistant and nurse practitioners. Takes effect July 1, 2014. And I believe you should have a -1 amendment that they're going to speak to. And the panel would be Elizabeth Remley and Jack Dempsey.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think we need to amend each and every bill about it. I've been talking about Buckley and how.
Chair Greenlake and members of the committee, my name is Elizabeth Remley here on behalf of the Oregon Society of Physician Assistants. Thank you very much for considering Senate Bill 1548. We, the physician assistants, have had several reports over the years of people misinterpreting statutes that were written a long time ago when only physicians could be primary care providers for the most part. They're ambiguous, and we thought that we would try to update the least controversial of those statutes this session. And so what we've done, we wrote this bill with the threshold question of can physician assistants and nurse practitioners and or nurse practitioners already do this? And if the answer was yes, they're already doing this and it's common practice, let's make sure a statute reflects that. We had some folks misinterpreting the statute because physician assistants or nurse practitioners were left out. They thought that it meant specifically that they couldn't do something, and that was incorrect. And it's caused disruptions in patient access and patient care because physician assistants and nurse practitioners have had to go try to correct the record on what they're allowed to do when they're practicing medicine. So that's what the original bill did. The amendment takes out 11 sections. It takes out section 65, which was a section that went in. It was in a list of sort of catch-all. This physician reference is undefined. Let's put it in. What we didn't realize was the actual sections that was the details of what a tanning salon must post on their wall, and we don't really intend to make tanning salons go and reprint all of their posters, so we are taking that out. The sections 78 through 88 deal with chapters 743 and 743A, which are the insurance codes, and after speaking with the insurance companies about those sections, we realized that there was something deeper going on with the language in those sections, and so we're taking them out, and we're going to have a conversation during the interim about that. And then the amendment adds a new section, Section 83. After speaking with the Public Utility Commission, we decided to add this section into the bill. It is the only section of the bill, if you adopt the amendment, that would actually allow PAs to do something new. Currently, statute says that only physicians and nurse practitioners may sign for the medical certification of the necessity of an assisted telecommunications device available through the Public Utility Commission. We had a physician assistant whose patient needed a TTY phone in Cave Junction, but because the physician assistant signed the certification form, it was denied. That physician assistant practices on her own, and it was tough for her to find a it wasn't that tough, but it took a long time for her to get her supervising physician to co-sign this thing and get it resubmitted to the Public Utility Commission. The Public Utility Commission is officially neutral on this, but has no problem with our addition, so that physician assistants may sign their medical certification for their own patients.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, Jack Dempsey, representing the Oregon Nurses Association and our nurse practitioner members. We support this legislation. I have nothing else to add to her testimony, and just happy to answer any questions from this long bill.
It is safe to assume we don't have any opposition to this.
Not that we've encountered, Chair.
Especially once you take those sections out.
Right.
Are there questions to this panel? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 1548. Let's open up a work session and put the amendment in so we know what we have in front of us. I open a work session on Senate Bill 1548 for the purpose of putting the amendment in. I'll carry this over to Wednesday to give you all a chance to make sure you've read it and give other people a chance to come in opposition if there is any. I haven't heard any, and I don't expect any, but let's hold it. Who's got the...
Mr. Chair, I move that we adopt the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 1548.
Dated?
Dated 2-14-14.
Representative Thompson moves the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 1548, dated 2-14-14. Is there any discussion on the motion? Is there any objection to the motion? The Dash 1s are now a part of Senate Bill 1548, and I will carry this over to Wednesday. We still have we're open public hearing on Senate Bill 1577. Sandy, you want to comment on that and then call the panel, please?
As you just heard, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 1577A requires state police and all sheriffs and municipal police departments to adopt written policies relating to missing vulnerable adults on or before January 1, 2015, otherwise known as the Silver Alert. It also has the Medicaid fraud piece in it. Mr. Chair, this left the Senate floor with 30 ayes and no noes. And our panel would be John Bartholomew, May Dash.
He would trigger us.
And Dan Jarman. Okay. And then on deck would be Ellen Miller.
Okay.
Or just Dan. Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Chairman Greenlich, members of the House Committee on Healthcare. For the record, my name is John Bartholomew. I am the Public Policy Director at the Alzheimer's Association Oregon Chapter. And I'm really happy to be here to testify in support of the Silver Alert elements of this bill. We have a growing problem with Alzheimer's in Oregon. We currently have about 80,000 people in this state living with Alzheimer's disease, and that is expected to grow to about 110,000 by the year 2025. It's a growing problem. And Alzheimer's is a devastating disease that robs people of their memories, their sense of self, and their ability to take on just the simplest tasks. 2 years ago, we went out and did a lot of town hall meetings all over the state of Oregon in effort to craft the state plan for Alzheimer's, which was unanimously endorsed by all of you last session. And one of the issues that came up repeatedly was the issue of wandering, that people said something needs to be done more about this issue. 60% of those 80,000 people will wander at some point. And if they're not found within 24 hours, 60% of those will either die or be severely injured. And that rate goes up to 80% death rate within 72 hours. They're a very, very vulnerable population. They have no idea often where they're headed or where they are. So we really want to ensure the safety of these folks, and we're part of the solution as well. We have our Medical Alert Safe Return program. We support safety standards in long-term care settings, but that's not going to be enough. Police and sheriffs are called very frequently to address a missing person who has wandered from their home. And so because of that, we sat down months ago with the Police Chiefs Association, the Sheriff's Association, as well as the broadcasters, folks from developmental disabilities, etc., because they're impacted by these issues as well, and crafted a plan that we believe addresses what actually gets at the root problem. One of the pieces of the root problem, actually. And that is that in terms of getting people back to their own homes, many sheriffs or police departments are well prepared. They have plans. They know what to do. They know how to alert the media to help assist in a search. And there are many that don't have these policies. And that's basically what this bill addresses. It's making sure that every police and sheriff department in Oregon has a policy that talks about what kind of training their officers will receive, how they accept missing persons reports for this population, how do they work with the local media, which is kind of the Silver Alert piece of this,
How do they coordinate with other agencies? And how do they do a search differently? Because these searches are different from your typical missing hiker. So this bill allows for the Oregon Accreditation Alliance to craft a template policy for police and sheriffs to adopt. But it's also not a one-size-fits-all approach, that it allows for each individual department to craft their own policy that addresses these issues. And if a department already has a policy, this doesn't affect them at all. We will be seeing a lot more wandering cases in Oregon. You should have written testimony from me, written testimony from the Sheriff's and Police Chiefs Associations, and a letter of support with a number of organizations that are supportive of this as well. So thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you. Next week.
Yes, Chair Greenwich, my name is May Dash, and the committee, my name is May Dash. And I'm here today for the Alzheimer's Network of Oregon, representing the Public Policy Committee. We strongly support this bill. We're a nonprofit in the Mid-Willamette Valley, and we provide support and education and advocacy and outreach for persons with Alzheimer's disease and related dementias, and also for their families and caregivers. And as John has stated so clearly, this is an epidemic. As our population ages, this Alzheimer's is reaching epidemic proportions. There's no cure. There's no known cause at this time. We hope it will be happening. But it's going to be a disaster. And people, from the time somebody realizes something is wrong with their memory and their thinking, can go from 4 to over 20 years. And so this is just devastating, not only to the person who is suffering from it, but also to families. Because it destroys the memory and thinking skills, persons who are still physically able, also in the early years of the disease, they're really prone to wander. And I was thinking there's sort of three kinds of wandering that I have seen. One is, and this is something maybe people haven't thought about, but the person who is still driving, maybe without a license, but is still driving, gets in a car, gets totally lost the minute they get out of their neighborhood, and is a real hazard to everybody on the road because they're confused, trying to find out where they are, looking for a familiar landmark, something
like
that.
Get more agitated. And get more agitated.
Exactly. And are prone to have an accident, and this is a real problem. The most common thing, I think, is the person who wanders away from home, just wandering around and suddenly isn't quite sure where they are and keeps wandering and maybe really wanders afar and gets really lost. And then the third of the people who are in long-term care facilities in the state, the facilities are overwhelmed now by people with Alzheimer's. And they're placed into a position where they don't know where they are. The surroundings are not familiar. They don't recognize any faces. And the one thing they want to do is go home. And you hear this over and over again in a facility, I just want to go home. It's a real heartbreaker. But given the opportunity, you know, they will, if they're physically able, they will try to leave. And in a facility that doesn't have maybe enough staff or staff trained in dementia care, it's a never-ending concern that somebody's going to scoot out the door with a visitor. And then if they do leave, the hazards are tremendous. I mean, there's traffic, there's inclement weather, there's they can fall, there's strangers, all sorts of things. So the one thing I would like to leave with you is that this is a disease that really impacts and exhausts families over a period of many, many years. And I know personally my mother, from the start of her dementia till she died, it was 17 years. And so it's just really a heartbreaker, but it's also so stressful. And not only for the you worry about the person who's still living at home alone, but then the person who is living maybe with an elderly spouse or a caregiver, exhausted person caring for them, and the person in a facility who is constantly trying to leave as long as they are able. I just think this bill, 1577, I think it's great. because it will assure families that at least there are statewide policies and procedures that can help them if their family member gets lost. So thank you ever so much, and I hope you will support the bill.
Thank you. Dan?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Dan Jarman, today representing the Oregon Association of Broadcasters. The Oregon Association of Broadcasters is in very strong support of this legislation. Some very brief comments. John and the Alzheimer's Association approached us last summer with the idea for this proposed legislation. We had some early concerns that the legislation could potentially weaken the Amber Alert system. John listened to our concerns, went back with other stakeholders, and really came back with a very good piece of legislation. I want to thank John for not just working with us, but other stakeholders to really have something in front of you that's a very, very good bill. We hope it passes, and thank you for allowing us to speak in support of legislation.
Are there questions this panel? And Mr. Fuller will be up next for the sheriffs if you have questions. Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Carol, you want to? So, as I was sitting here thinking of that incredible scene from On Golden Pond where the Henry Fonda character steps out behind his house in the woods and gets lost, and how chilling that was for those of us getting older to watch.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Darrell Fuller here today on behalf of the Oregon State Sheriff's Association and the Oregon Association Chiefs of Police. I don't want to belabor what's a good bill and just indicate that you have our written testimony on the record that we worked with the proponents of the bill. Our initial concern was that we didn't want the statute to be so specific that it would handcuff local agencies and how they could respond, because a response in Multnomah County is significantly different than a response in Gilliam County. And so we were concerned that the bill allowed the local agency to have enough flexibility to create a written document that works best for their county. The bill does that, and we urge you to give it an aye vote. Thank you.
Any questions? Okay. I'll close the public hearing on House Bill 1577. I think it would still be wise to hold that over just like the other one. We'll start if no problems arise. Yes, I'm sorry.
No, if you thank you, Mr. Chair. If you want to carry it over, that sounds great. I'm still pursuing the notion of whether or not an amendment is appropriate with regards to the Chief Information Officer. I've set up a. But if you're going
that's
to carry it over,
first
let's
one,
do
right?
that.
No, that's for the Medicaid.
Oh, it's for the Medicaid.
Yeah,
piece of this one. Okay.
Inserted.
Yeah, no, I'm going to carry over just for that purpose to make sure we have a chance to see it, and if we have amendments to introduce, we'll do it.
Thank you.
My intention would be to start Wednesday session with the two work sessions on these two bills, and then go into hearings on the other four bills we have in front of us for Wednesday. Any? So I close the public hearing on Senate Bill 1577. Is there any other business that is brought before us? We are adjourned.
Look at him, very exciting.